Couldn't help but think, as Angela was singing, about Charlene Fanning, young lady, going to have a wedding here at church on Friday. 25-year-old Jose Tatis Camille, and he was shot through the head right here near Oak Street at that Sunoco station by a wicked man. And last night the doctor said he was brain dead. And she's dealing with all of that, Charlene Fanning and her little daughter that I met in church here, and she was so enthusiastic, little four-year-old girl. And then the baby son that he was excited about to be born in June. Couldn't help but thinking about what they're going through right now, and someone is praying for you, and I know you'll be praying for her, for the family, and for everything involved in this thing that happened. We need prayer. And the longer that I live in this world, and the more people I meet, the more I'm convinced that what this old world needs is to be fed with the bread that satisfies your deepest need in your heart forever. And Jose found that out. Charlene was telling me when I was at the hospital and seeing him on life support there the other night that he got right with God. And that's what he was after, just the Lord. And she said, I'd been praying for him because God had been dealing with me to get off drugs and everything else, live for God. And God got a hold of him. And little did he know, he didn't have much time. And that's the greatest need. And I'd like you to turn to John's Gospel this morning, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I want to read to introduce this message. John 6, and just look at verses 1 and 2. It said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. I'm glad to have you here today. By the way, we had St. Paddy's Day parade and typical St. Paddy's Day weather in Scranton, dreary, wet, kind of cold. You know, it's the weather. You got to embrace it. Today we're serving shamrock shakes afterwards, so you're all invited to that. Bobby, you got your green on. He's all excited about that. Look at Bobby. But I want you to notice in the verses that I just read you, there was a lot of people, a multitude of people, and they were in the congregation that was following Jesus Christ. He'd just been down in the south, and now he's up in the north of Israel, and they're following him. And you know why they were following him, though? They were following him for the physical feeding that he was giving them. They were following him because of what he offered them physically, and they didn't really see their need for a personal relationship to him being the bread of life. And in verse 2, notice it says that the multitude that follows Jesus were hoping to get these physical miracles that would prosper them and their family. I like what our former pastor used to say. He said there are a lot of people that are following Jesus for the manifestations, not the Messiah. They're following Jesus for the manifestations, not the Messiah. And that will be tested in your life and in my life. I want you to take note this morning that it is the Lord Jesus alone, because he came and died for the sins of the world. He was buried, but he rose again, victorious. That it's the Lord Jesus Christ alone that can satisfy the deepest need in your heart, the spiritual need in your heart. Nobody else, nothing else can do it. I like what our former pastor used to say. He said you'd get bored with the streets of gold. You'd get bored, you see, with the gates of pearl. You'd get bored with the riches of heaven if it wasn't for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't satisfy. Physical things don't satisfy. They just don't. And so this is what we're offered in the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the bread. You guys are talking about manna and you're all excited about the miracles of physical food. He said, I'm the bread. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Of course, he was speaking of a personal relationship with him. And I wonder if you have that this morning and you need that this morning. But what I want to preach to you on from this passage this morning is Jesus will provide for you to feed many. Jesus will provide for you to feed many. And I'm not talking about Mrs. Bajeski's chicken fajitas. Although we could include that. We could include that here. We'll throw that in. Jesus will provide for you to feed many. And I have three things I want to say from this passage. Number one, by his challenging your faith. Jesus will provide for you to feed many. Number one, by his challenging your faith. Notice we already read verses 1 and 2, and we saw that Jesus had been in the south in Jerusalem. Now he was in the north. Many were following Jesus. It was a multitude. But we found out they weren't following him for the spiritual bread. They were following him for the chicken fajitas or the shamrock shakes or whatever it is. We were going to have pogo sticks for spring ahead, but too many people slept in, so we decided shamrock shake. They were following him for the free groceries. Sounds pretty good at this point. Free groceries, amen. They were following him for free medical miracles that he was doing to make them healthy. Like to be healthy. But here's your challenge this morning. Why do you come to this church? Why do you gather in this place where the Lord is? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am, Jesus, in their midst. And I believe Jesus is here this morning. Amen. But why are you here this morning? That's the question. And look at verse 5 of John 6. I'll read it. It says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now notice Jesus picks on Philip. And I like it when Jesus picks on me. Amen? I don't like it, but I do like it because I need it. And so do you. And Jesus picked on Philip and he said, from where am I? He didn't say to Philip, listen to this. He didn't say, where am I going to buy food to feed all these people, Philip? He didn't say, I. He said, Philip, how are we going to feed these people? You see, he included Philip in it. And I'm so glad that when we get saved, we're in partnership with Jesus. He is the senior partner. I'm glad for that. I'm just the junior partner. But I'm involved. And you are involved if you're a true disciple of the Lord. And our Lord lived his life and did his ministry on earth by trusting in the Heavenly Father so that he could complete his ministry and feed people and take care of people and lead them to himself. And he wants you to do that too. And so look at verse 6 now. After he picked on Philip, here it says this, and this he, Jesus, said to prove him, Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, when a lawyer asks somebody a question, they already know the answer. Amen. They know why they're asking it. When Jesus asks you something, he knows the answer. But he is testing your faith. He is challenging you to see if you are going to be able to be used by him to feed a multitude of people. To have others be helped through you. And I believe he's doing that in your life this morning. And many of you, he's doing that in our church this morning. And that's why I'm preaching this message to you. And I want to say to you, if you are a real believer in Jesus Christ, and you are following him in order to help others get fed the bread of life, Jesus Christ, then you need to know that Jesus will challenge your faith to see if you are going to be qualified and fit for him to provide for this multitude of a world that we live in with so many needs and so much wickedness going on. And I want to say that how you respond to the challenges of faith to members of a church like this one will determine where our church goes. See, I believe our church is a church with a vision. I believe our church is a church that wants to reach out to the multitudes. And I want to reach them with the bread of life. But in doing that, we have to pass certain tests. If we don't pass those tests, we're not going to be graduated to the next level. In certain schools, it doesn't matter whether you know the material or not. You can flunk the test. They keep pushing you up, pushing you up, pushing you up. And then they push you out and you don't know how to read or write. That's not good. Jesus won't do that. We're in the University of Jesus. Our textbook is the Word of God. Our classroom is life. And Jesus will test your faith. He will challenge your faith. And Jesus will provide what you need to feed many, but he will challenge your faith. How are you doing with his challenging and testing you when it comes to your faith? That is so important today. And I believe it's important for our church. And it's important for you as a man of God and as a people of God. And if you don't walk by faith, you're not going to go very far. You're not going to heaven without faith in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. And you're not going to go very far for the Lord unless you have faith and unless you step out in faith. You need to have a foundation of faith in God and His Word. And you need to have feet of faith where you step out. And then you need to fight with faith against the devil who will try to tell you, back off, back off. Don't go forward. And Jesus picked on Philip, and he's picking on you this morning. And he's saying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to have a bus ministry? How are we going to have missionaries? How are we going to reach out to our Jerusalem from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre, from Moscow to Tonkin? How are we going to do it in our society with so much inflation and so much craziness going on around us? But I want to say, Jesus will provide for you to feed many if you pass the test of the challenge of your faith. But there's a second thing I want to say to you this morning about Jesus providing through you, and that is by your calculating your limitations. Not only Jesus challenging your faith, but listen, you need to be calculating your limitations. And I want you to see in verse 7 how that works out. It says, Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now you notice what was happening here? Jesus picked on Philip. He knew Philip would do something that you and I do all the time, and some of you do better than others. If you're a nerd, you do it better than others. You do the math. You do the math. And Philip did the math. He said, 200 penny worth wouldn't be enough to feed them just a little. You know, a penny in that day was not like our penny. Our penny's worth practically nothing. It was a literal silver coin. Our pennies aren't even literal copper anymore. It was a literal silver coin. And it was worth about a day's wage of a working man. And Philip was calculating all that when he looked at this multitude. And Jesus saying, how are we, Philip, going to feed them? He was doing the math. I was talking to my son the other day. He took me out, youngest son, he took me out to Royal Buffet. He likes to eat there. I like to eat there. So he took me out to Royal Buffet and we were eating and talking. And somehow the subject came up of groceries and I notice he pays hundreds of dollars a week on groceries. Hundreds, if not a thousand sometimes. Going out shopping for him and his family. And he had a friend. He was telling me about this friend who's a dentist. And Brian is a dentist. And he said this friend is in Florida. And he was best friends with him. And he wants him to have a practice. And he was telling me about his friend. He said, yeah, my friend. He said he's doing very well. He's making about $500,000 a year as a dentist. I was like, wow. And he said, Dad, I don't know how the average working man shops for a family. I don't know how they do it. And I, well, Brian, I make $299 a week, $299 a week. And if I get a bonus, that's a good week. And but there's a cap on that bonus. And I've never even came close to the cap, the final cap, which is about an average wage in the United States. But I don't get there. I said, but you know what? God provides. God provides. Our refrigerator's full. When my daughter comes with her husband, should arrive this afternoon, there's going to be food in the refrigerator. They want to go shopping. We're not going to let them go. We don't need it. God brings it in. Different ways. He's always done it, but he does it. By the way, I'm going to ask you to do something. Take this and put a little off button on there. Squeeze it really tight and then hit power off and power off. I just did it. But I'm just saying that Philip was doing the math. And Brian, my son, was doing the math. Thank God that I have found out by experience that I'm not living on O'Biden's economy. Man. And Soros's economy. Right. And I'm just saying that this past week, I was having a good week, things going well, and then I got a text from my secretary. And everything changed right there. And she sent me a text and she said, you know, the bus lot lady just told me that they're going to have to raise the prices of our buses. She said, and I knew this, we've been paying $125 apart from drivers. Drivers are extra charged, but our drivers donate their time for the three buses. We have three drivers, Mrs. Zukowski, Mr. Zukowski, and Brother Kyle Donovan, that donate their time every week. We'd have to pay that. But the buses are $125 a week. That's a great price to rent a bus for one day, for one service, basically, every week. But she said they're raising it. Well, what are they raising it to? $260 per bus, per service, per day, for each bus. And right away, like Philip, I started doing the math. And you know what I found out when I did the math? We came up way short of that. And it really hit me. Now, Philip did the same thing. He added up 200 penny worth, and he figured up, well, that would be about 7 months of an average working man's pay. And he said, even if we had 7 months of an average working man's pay donated, he said, that wouldn't even give enough food to feed everybody here with enough to take away their hunger. They'd still be hungry. It wouldn't be enough. He was doing the math, and he came up short. I was doing the math, and I was coming up short. And so look at verse 8 and 9. Because we're talking about calculating your limitations. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Now, do you see what Andrew's doing, Simon's brother? He's starting out by saying, here's a little lad here with five barley loaves, five loaves of bread, and two small fishes. What is he saying there? He's kind of thinking miracle, isn't he? He's kind of starting to think of something miraculous. Or why would he even mention that? Why would he even mention such a little thing, a little boy? Why would he mention that? But notice right away, he goes right back to doing the math. And he goes, but what are they among so many? It's almost like he started to believe God, but then he just went right back and he did the math. And he said, well, that's ridiculous. That's not going to work. I'm just saying, Jesus will challenge your faith, and that will cause you to have to calculate your own limitation when you're doing all you can do. And the conclusion, like that of Andrew and Philip, is that when you actually calculate and you do the math, you are going to come up short of where you need to be. Now, what did the disciples do in the past, or what did they do in certain situations when they felt like they could come up short and the multitudes were following them? I could ask you that question, and you should think about it for a minute. What they would do is they would say, send them home. We can't take care of them. Send them away. And Jesus would say, but they'll faint. They'll be like sheep. They'll faint. We got to take care of them. Now, he didn't say, I got to take care of them. He said, we got to take care of them. You see, he was putting it on them, and they were calculating, and they were doing the math, and they calculated their limitations, and they come up short. So many times they just wanted to cut back on the responsibility, cut back. And how about you this morning? Are you doing the math? Are you calculating? And are you saying, you know what? Groceries are going up. This is going up. That's going up. So I can't afford to give 10% off the top like the Bible says. Give your tithes to the Lord. Some of you aren't even doing it. And that's a big mistake. It's a mistake that people make. They say, I can't afford to give to God. Can I say something to you this morning? You can't afford not to give to God. He will take it from you anyway. I promise you, he'll take it from you. So why not give it? Because you can't outgive God. And you say, well, what about the offerings? The offerings start after you gave the 10%. The 10% is to just prove that you're faithful. You know what the offerings prove? If you love Him. If you love Him back. That's what they prove. And so, Mary gave an offering, and Judas and the other disciples complained because they said, man, this would be a year's wages for this. About $60,000. And she's pouring it out on Jesus and wasting it. And Jesus said, no, she's not wasting it. Not on me. Not on me. You guys are wrong. And so when you calculate and you realize your limitations, when you do the math, don't take the tithe out and make sure you give God the 10% off the top in and through the local church. Don't stop the faith promise missions giving if you made it. And if you haven't made it, you should make it. Don't stop giving to the second and third bus fund if you've been doing it. But the Bible doesn't say the just shall live by doing the math, does it? It says the just shall live by what? The just shall live by what? That's exactly right. And so I'm saying this morning that Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, that He will, beloved, provide for you so that you can feed the many and you can feed more, but He will test you, He will challenge your faith to put you to the test, and He will get you by your calculating your limitations to see that you can't do it in yourself. And I want to say one more thing and I'll be done. Jesus will provide for you to feed many by His commanding you based on His multiplying. And I'd like you to look with me at verse 10 of John chapter 6. I'll read it. It says this, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000 people. And so Jesus didn't do what the disciples wanted to do on other occasions. Send them away. Send them home. We can't take care of them. And many churches do it. Oh, we can't afford to have a bus ministry. Some churches say, oh, I don't want to have all the kids running around. Well, then go to an old people's home where they're pushing shuffleboard and there are no kids. And you see people with shorts and varicose veins and hairy leg guys with no children. As for me and my house, I'll take the bus kids. Amen. I'll take the kids running around. Suffer the little children to come unto me. And you have to suffer sometime, right? Suffer the little children to come unto me. for such is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, okay, you've had your faith challenged. You've done the calculation. Now you have them sit down. We're not sending them away. And the disciples did what he said. He commanded them. They did it. And he said, let them sit down and stay. And I suggest today what the Lord is saying to us is we are challenged in our faith as we calculate and we come up short. He commands us to keep the bus kids.
Amen.
And I want to just say that today, and I want to read verse 11. It says there, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. But wait a minute, how do you do that? You just have five loaves and two fish from a little boy. Isn't that like the Lord? Notice he uses a little boy. It's not how little you are, how poor you are. Remember the widow? She put in all she had. It's how big is your God. He used a little boy's lunch because the little boy loved him. You say, how do you know he loved? He gave up his lunch. That's loving him. I mean, all of it. I saw the other day, we were out on bus ministry, and Jose and Luke came up and drove up, and poor Jesse, I was fasting that day, and Jesse was hungry. He wanted some food. Luke had some, I don't know what Luke had. Where's Jesse? Is he here? He's downstairs? Oh, he's there. What did he have, Jesse?
Goldfish.
Luke had goldfish. And what'd you say, like, help a man, or how'd you put that, like? Help a brother out, right? Help a brother. Help him out. And he was hungry, and he reached for Luke's bag or whatever. And how many goldfish did he give you? About three goldfish. About three goldfish. And I said, Jesse, you know, you're going to have to wait till bus ministry's over about 8 o'clock tonight. You know, you get something to eat. You're out with a preacher who's not eating today. I had to save up for my family coming in. Eat plenty. But anyway, this guy gave up his lunch. All of it. He could have just given three goldfish. But he gave it all up. He said, take it, Jesus. He showed he loved Jesus. And he showed he trusted Jesus. Right? Like the widow. She gave it all. And Jesus called it out. You know, Jesus will challenge your faith. He will challenge your love. That's what he's interested in. The disciples, they were always doing the math, you know. Oh, that was a day. Oh, a year's wages that Mary gave up and pouring out that. But Jesus is interested in your devotion, your love, not how well you can do the math, your faith. And so this kid gave it all, and Jesus was ready to bless it. And it reminds me of the prophet Elijah. He was going, and where did God send him? Not to some rich guy, not to some billionaire, you know. Oh, I wish a billionaire would join our church. Then we'd have it. And he'd give a tithe and we'd have it. Now, that's not God's way all the time. Now, I won't stop a billionaire if he wants to join me. Elon Musk, get saved. That's good with me. But I'm just saying, God's way was he sent the prophet, the preacher, to a poor widow. Think about that. He needed provision, and he says, here, go to a widow who doesn't have a husband and who has a son, and guess how much food she had in the cupboard? Only for one meal, and it ran out. That's all she had. And she pointed it out to the man of God. She said, You're asking me for help, like Jesse with the fish. I don't have it. I just got enough for me and my son for one meal, and I just don't have it. Elijah said, that's all right. He said, you give it to me first. Make me a meal first out of that, a portion of that. And she goes, you first? Yeah. And isn't that what God is saying to you and I?
Right.
Calculate your limitations, but give it to God first. Give what you have to God. Did you make a promise for the tithe? You should give it. Did you make a promise for faith promise? You should fulfill it. And if you didn't do it, you should do it. Did you make a promise for the second and third bus fund? Do it. Do it as you're able and you want to, out of love. And that's what the lady did. And she did it. And the prophet ate. Then she made it for her son. He ate. She did it again the next day. And he ate. And for her son. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. Well, see, what happened? She gave it to the Lord and he multiplied it. When you give to him, he multiplies it. He multiplies. When you do what you can do by faith and by love, he multiplies it. And that's what he did, and that's what he challenges you and I to do by his command, based upon his ability to multiply for you. Now listen, I want you to look at verse 12 and 13 is the last, and I'll be done. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. When God multiplies, he not only meets the need, there's always extra. Give, and men shall give to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. How you give will determine how God gives back to you. He gave it all, and God multiplied it and fed 5,000 men, not to speak of who else was there, women, children. He fed all of them, but not only that, they had 12 baskets left over. You know, when you give to the Lord and put him first, he doesn't use you up and spit you out. You can't outgive him. But when you give to the world and you give to the lust of your own eyes, the lust of your flesh, the pride of your life, the world will use you up and spit you out. Remember Naomi? She and her husband, they went after the world. They were believers, but they didn't trust God. They didn't put God first. They went after the world down there in Moab, and the husband died. Her sons died. Her daughter-in-law left her. One daughter-in-law came back with her. But when she came back, she was looking like she'd aged about 30 years. She looked like some of these girls in California that are in their 20s, and they look like they're in their mid-40s, and they got Botox and wiggle lips with Botox. Better keep your skinny lips and your normal face. I'm just saying that the world will use you up and spit you out. And you become all self-absorbed. And guess what? People think they'll be happy that way. They're not happy. They're miserable. You want happiness and true joy, man. You put Jesus first.
Amen.
And give to the bus ministry. Amen. Give to the tithes and offering. And give your time and yourself. And that's the message here. Jesus will provide for you to feed many. He will, and I believe he is, challenging your faith this morning. And you're going to calculate when he does that your limitations. That's human. We do the math. But then he's going to command you, put me first. Give out of what you have and put me first. And even if there is not enough, I'll make it enough. I'll make it more than enough. I'll give to you overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, so that you can not use it for yourself and a health and wealth thing, but that you can reach more and do more for God. And I don't know about you, but I want to do more for God. I see the devil and what he's doing. And I want to see more people get saved and baptized and serve in the Lord. And if you're here today, The message is Jesus Christ gave his all. He gave his body and his blood to die on a cross so he could be the bread of life to feed you. But you've got to receive Jesus. You've got to receive him as your Savior in order to have your sins taken away and to become his disciple. It's a gift that he wants to give you, but you got to receive it. You know, some people don't want to receive the gift just because they're too full of themselves. They're not interested in Jesus, but they're going to be sorry when they realize they made a bad choice. Don't you make that choice. Make the right choice. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about Jesus as the bread of life. I wonder, is there a time and a place in your life when you came to realize that you were empty, that you were sinful, that you were deserving of hell, and that you heard the good news about Jesus Christ, his death for our sins, and you believed? And now you have a Bible reason to know that you're going to heaven, that you are one of his true disciples. If you know that for sure, 100% based on a Bible reason, would you raise your right hand and let me see it? All right, all over this building. Thank God for those of you that have. All right, you may put them down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand, and I want to talk to you this morning and say, I would like to pray for you that you, before you leave this building, would know for sure and have a Bible reason. You say, I would like to know, Pastor, but I couldn't raise my hand because I don't really know for sure with a Bible reason that when I die, I'm going to heaven. But would you pray for me? I would like to know that. If you would like me to pray for you for that, would you raise your right hand right now? Raise it up. I'll see it and I'll pray for you all over this building. Yes, I see that hand. A young man. All right. Thank you. You may put it down. Someone else. I would like to know with a Bible reason, Pastor, before I leave today, that I am going to heaven. Anybody else? Raise your hand and I will pray for you. God is speaking to my heart and he's saying, I don't know for sure. I would like to know that I have eternal life. Listen to me. A multitude of people were following Jesus, but most of those people in that multitude just wanted physical things. They wanted Jesus to give them bread. They wanted Jesus to give them health by miracles, but they didn't know him. He says, depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for his devil and his angels. I never knew you. But if you raised your hand, everybody else just pray, but if you raised your hand, would you look at me just for a moment? Just lift your head and look at me. Yeah. You know how Jesus picked on Philip and he said, Philip, and he talked to him? Jesus is picking on you this morning and he's saying, if you want to go to heaven, I came all the way out of heaven to die on a cross to pay for your sins so that your sins could be taken away. And you say, well, who can take away my sins? If I join the church, if I ride the bus? No, if you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I put my faith in you to be my Savior, he will do it. He says he will do it. Would you just bow right now and say, Lord, I put my faith in you to be my Savior. If you haven't done that, do it. Now, one more thing I want to say. You're here and you say, I am saved, Pastor. I know I'm going.